In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor Greg Huffman, as he shares the truth for the day.
Welcome back to the Word for Life radio ministry. It's certainly a joy to have you join us in our morning sessions. And pastors, we've been focusing our attention on our ministry, our contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And last time we were together, we were talking about becoming a compassionate pastor as we contend for the faith. We talked about building up the body by the knowledge of the Word of God and what to teach our folks, praying in the Holy Spirit. That means praying consistently in the power and the will of the Spirit, and then keeping ourselves in the love of God, helping other people to feel His love through us, then looking for the mercy of the Lord and His return, which would lead to love and compassion. Now, with that in mind, we'll be able to then follow 2 Timothy and chapter 2. It says in verse 24, "The servant of the Lord must not strive, not be a fighter, but be gentle unto all men, able to teach." Then the next word is patient. "In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." Those three verses talk about the ministry of the servant of the Lord. It talks about having reproofs that must be accompanied with compassion. In other words, we as pastors are constantly having to shed light on what's wrong. Those are reproofs. But how do we do it? What kind of attitude do we have in doing it? I'm reminded that when Samuel had to reprove King Saul, he then went away and wept all night for him. You remember that? Do we do that over our members after we've had to reprove them? See, there are three reasons for compassion. The first thing is that their sin dishonors God. It dishonors God. And we love God, so we're filled with compassion for the folks around us. Psalm 119 and verse 136. Then secondly, the harm that sin does to them. Jeremiah 13:17 says, "But if you will not hear it, my soul shall weep in secret places for your pride. Mine eyes shall weep sore and run down with tears because the Lord's flock is carried away captive." Wow. Because of the harm that it brings to the members of our church. And then, of course, we need to have compassion because of our own proneness to slip as well. Galatians 6:1 talks about reprove others, but be careful of our own selves. See, there's no sin in their lives that's not in our nature. I'll say that again. There's no sin in their lives that's not in our nature. And so we have to be very careful while we are reproving them and seeking to help them find the way. And that's why it says making a difference. Making a difference. The Greek word means discerning. In other words, you have mercy on some who are doubting and need help. Now, there are principles of confronting with compassion that I want to share with you. Number one, when you do reprove a brother, be sure it's not out of jealousy or revenge. In other words, remove yourself from that situation. If you're jealous of that person, or if you are trying to get revenge to that person, then you're not in a place where you can honestly reprove a brother and be God's instrument for reproval. Secondly, when a person seems to be in blatant sin, begin lightly so that they can see your compassion and your desire for their benefit and restoration first. In other words, they ought to be able to sense your love, sense your desire to bring them back into fellowship with the Lord and back into fellowship with folks in the church. Regardless of how wicked the sin is, let them see your compassion. A third principle of confronting is when approaching those that are already afflicted in their consciences, do it like Jesus. Remember when he said after his resurrection, "Go tell my disciples and Peter." That's Mark 16:7. And Peter. See, Peter had denied knowing the Lord three times. He was so discouraged, he was defeated. He said, Let's go fishing, I'm done. When you're approaching those who are already afflicted in their consciences, then be personal. Let them know of your love. Number four, if they're wrong in small matters, don't use a sledgehammer. It's the mote and beam type of a principle. See, some men have been lost who might have been reclaimed if they had been approached differently. And in my 52 years of ministry, I'd have to say amen to that. There have been times that I have not approached people with the right spirit, the right timing, and they might have been reclaimed if I had approached them differently. See, dashing storms wash away the seed. And so many times we're like a dashing storm. But remember the Bible says, a word fitly spoken. A word fitly spoken. And if they're troubled and complaining, remember that the false teachers prey on disgruntled members. In verse 16, it talks about that kind of a false teacher. And so, contending without being contentious? Yes, because we are contending with compassion. If not, then you'll be drawing a circle around the true and the faithful, and before you know it, you have identified everybody as being unfaithful, and you alone are righteous. The little poem said this: when I first became a member of the church, my circle was very big, for it included all who, like myself, believed and had been baptized. I was happy in this thought that my brethren were many, but having a keen and observant mind, I soon learned that many of my brethren were erring. So I thought it not good to tolerate any within my circle, except those who, like myself, were right on all points of doctrine and practice. Also, some brethren made mistakes and sinned. But what could I do? I had to do something. So I drew a circle around me and my true friends, and we left all others outside. Now, my true friends that I had included in my new circle were all as righteous as I. But to my great chagrin, I soon observed that some of those within my circle were self-righteous, proud, jealous, unforgiving. So, in righteous indignation, I drew another circle around myself, and I left all the sinners and publicans outside, including all those with liberal ideas about loving your brother. My new circle now really did embrace only those as righteous and as Christ-like and as perfect and as humble as I am toward all my fellows. But I heard some very ugly rumors about some of my brethren. I saw then that some of them were very worldly-minded. Their thoughts did seem constantly to be on things of the world in nature. They drank coffee, when like me they should only drink tea. So duty-bound, and to save my reputation, I had to draw a new circle around myself. This time only those who were as reputable and spirit-minded as I were left in. Alas, I realized that only my family and I remained within my circle. I had a good family, but to my surprise, eventually, they too were not good enough to be included within my circle. I have never been a fractious man, but one must be steadfast. So in strong determination, I did what every true brother in Christ must do. I drew my circle again, which left me all alone. Wow. When I become so judgmental, it becomes very easy for me to point out sins in just about everybody else. As a result of that, God can no longer use me. Pastors, let me close with these thoughts. When we are contending for the faith, we need to be full of grace and truth. That described Jesus in John 1:14. Full of grace and truth. Truth without grace breeds self-righteous legalism that poisons our churches, pushes the world away from Christ. Truth without grace. But remember, grace without truth breeds moral indifference and keeps people from seeing their need for Christ because of their sin. So, gentlemen, seek to be full of grace and truth. My second thought is, there's something wrong if all unbelievers hate us. And there's something wrong if all unbelievers like us. See, when we offend everybody, it's because we've taken on the truth mantle without grace. But when we offend nobody, it's because we've watered down the truth in the name of grace. And that's why it's so difficult to be a politician. Instead, our Christian brothers and sisters who are in leadership and politics need to be statesmen, where they take a stand for truth. They take a stand for what's right. And they're not going to make friends of everybody. Our vice president has made the public statement that he seeks to put hedges around him and his wife, hedges of protection, and so consequently he won't be alone in a car or in an office with another woman that's not his wife. And he's been highly criticized for things like that. Yes, we offend people that don't understand biblical principles of leadership for us as pastors. We don't please everybody. But the Bible says Jesus didn't please everybody. In fact, Jesus said, if the world hates him, the world is going to hate us as well. And so consequently, God is doing a work in your lives, pastors. In your lives. John 17:17. Remember what Jesus was praying to his Heavenly Father about us? He said, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. And as a result of that, we often miss God's process because he is setting us apart for his plan and his purpose. And Satan loves it when we become so overzealous that we forget the grace part as we're promoting the truth part. It is my prayer, gentlemen, that as we stand in our pulpits and as we have opportunities to speak to others in our communities, that people will sense a brokenness over sin. A brokenness over sin. How long has it been since you actually cried over your people? You actually cried over the consequences of their choices? We as pastors are shepherds. And shepherds are totally responsible for the care of their sheep. Thank God we have the great shepherd who guides us and directs us. May we as pastors be faithful in carrying out the Word of God and our ministries without being contentious, but with being gracious. May God bless you.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program, have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to help us continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.